you remember how wonderful that was? Well, that's what I had tonight. His hands were on me, and his mouth all over my body, and his passionate kisses. We made love tonight, Teresa, and it was wonderful. So, yes, he's helping you with your silly little report, but when it came time to go to bed, he reached for my hand. He could have chosen either one of us, but he chose me, and he gave me his love. What is he giving to you tonight, a book? Well, look what he gave me. This is what Ethan gave me tonight. And all you're getting is a paper cut from that book he's bringing you.
Passions for Life, where your hosts Natalie Z and Travis Schulte pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching. It's Passions. Hi,
yeah,
Travis.
Hi. Passions.
Hi. So as promised, listeners, we have our first guest of 2021. We're not sure why he agreed to do it, but he agreed to do it, and we're not going to question it. Dan Ozzie is here with us. Dan Ozzie is, he has been called the last real rock critic alive. That's a New York Times yeah, quote.
That's nice.
And that was on a podcast.
It
so
doesn't
you
matter.
Guys got one up it.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's still New York Times. So they're still better than us. He's the co-author of the book Tranny: Confessions of Punk Rock's Most Infamous Anarchist Sellout. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
You made the list of Billboard's greatest music books of all time.
All time.
Of all time. Yeah. I know what number you are, but I'm not going to tell the viewers.
42.
Listeners. Viewers,
42, baby, top 50, that's top
you
half.
You got it. You got it in the top 50. You've also written for Vice, Billboard, The Fader, and The AV Club, et cetera, et cetera. So listeners, you're probably also wondering why the fuck he's here, because he's a little classier than we are, and we're okay with that. He's a little smarter than
highbrow.
We are.
We gotta bring he's in a little some more highbrow. Intelligence.
Dan also has a newsletter. It's called Reply Alt.
True.
And I've read a few
of
those.
Oh, no.
No, it's fine. Dan, Dan, you have just completed your second book.
Yeah. Probably will be announced by the time this podcast runs.
Oh, that's it?
Wednesday.
That's
whoa,
great.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Does it have a title?
Sellout.
Shit.
Yeah.
And is that you or me?
Am I
the sellout or are you the sellout?
It's the people in the book.
Okay. So yeah. It's me.
You're not in the book.
I'm not in the book.
Sorry, yeah.
Is it Travis?
That's
Travis
isn't
in the book. Why would either of you be in the book?
Well, it's called Sellout.
I don't, yeah. My influence in the music industry is not big. Yeah.
No, neither of you are in the book.
All right. Well, maybe the next one.
Dan, that's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
we're really excited about this book because we feel like we have been with you on this journey. Dan lives on our property, if I may.
Yeah.
He's kind of our...
Their pod.
Larry from Three's Company, except not as pervy.
Yeah. Well, that you know of. Yeah. You don't know what pervy
activities are. Not pervy with us. Maybe pervy adjacent, but definitely pervy free with the Z Schulte clan. But it's been cool to be...
Our daughter's best friend.
Yeah. You are our daughter's best friend.
That's true. My best friend is a 5-year-old, and in no way is that pathetic.
No,
it's really cool, actually.
I would be ashamed.
It's really... My therapist says it's really cool.
Your therapist is not wrong.
Your therapist is... This. Is a good
your therapist has not met our daughter.
I'm just
apparently.
Kidding. Who could afford therapy in 2020? But yeah, I wrote the book at on your property.
And so it'll be out, what, in the fall?
October 26th, 2021.
And then you're like, you're going to leave us and go
no
on
No idea.
Tours.
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea. Will we be allowed to
tour?
To go places?
To go read in public?
Will we still have bookstores?
Will we still have books?
Jesus. Will we still be educating people in school so that they can read books? I don't know. I can't plan for the fall. Well, I don't know.
Dan, we've called you here today.
Yeah.
To help us.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
in breaking down. Considering that you're a critic.
Yeah, you're a critic.
Okay.
And I read, you know, you review on The King of Staten Island. You're already cued in to tearing apart something that really needs to be torn apart.
I do like to tear things apart. Yeah.
And you did it very well.
Although you don't always tear things apart. You got to interview one of my idols.
Who?
Liz Phair.
Oh, she's so cool.
You did not tear
her apart. No, see, I don't think I am a critic. I like to write narrative and I like to interview people. And Liz Phair is so cool.
She's so cool.
Yeah.
I love her.
That's all
so
I
much.
Have to say about her. She's just so
Do
cool.
Do you think that she would be friends with me?
Well, maybe, but you're going to have to get in line because I know what area of LA she lives in. I'm not going to say it unless we want to beep it out. But every time I'm there, I kind of just real casual look around. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to find her.
You know, you do but have her phone number though, right? I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, that's true too.
Yeah, you can just call her
you
up
just
and be
text
like,
her and be like, hey, are you around?
Yeah. I'm going to.
She's not listening.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Well, what if she's a huge Passions? How do you know?
What if she's a Passions fan? I feel like that's something you would know better than we would.
Possible.
Ooh, I just thought of a good idea. My editor wants to come up with a list of people who like might blurb the book, like famous people who like
Liz
music.
Fair.
Yeah.
That might be, I don't know.
You're welcome.
Yeah, write that one down.
Get that in there. We our work is done. Great. Well, what else can we do for you?
That's it. Are we done?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
We got it.
Yeah. This was the quickest podcast we've
Dan,
ever done.
Dan wants, and then we'll move on to Passions, but I do want to talk to you about your infamous 420 at the Taco Bells.
How do you guys know this? I'm alarmed. Like, I thought that you guys thought I was just a normal person.
Like a guy.
And it scares me that you deep guys dive. Know this.
I got,
you
I
did a deep dive.
I got some property.
I got to ask you about all this coffee you're getting delivered to the house.
Yeah, I joined.
What's going
this
on?
Is the level of like
it
washed
so
that
good.
I'm at.
Yeah.
I joined a coffee of the month club. It's
fuck
like $10.
Yeah.
I feel like it's about what I spend at the store anyway.
Easily.
So it's like $13 a month or something. And they send me like every 3 weeks, they send me a new coffee. Like you go on there. This sounds like a podcast commercial.
About coffee.
No, it just sounds like a commercial.
I also
want to talk about Casper mattresses.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
guys, if you're building a website, squarespace.com, you just make it easy.
Just
no, but
going.
This thing, Trade Coffee, it's like you tell them what you like. Oh, I like a dark roast. I like to like do pour over. I like to do whatever. And they just like, are okay. And then every month they just send you one. So yeah, tradecoffee.com.
So
if you use
because going to the store is like a once
like a
week thing.
Yeah.
We don't even.
I'm just here to plug things. I'm trying to get endorsements. So that coffee's really cool.
You're in the wrong place.
ExxonMobil is listening. I use their gas all the time in my car. They could give me some free gift cards. What else? Let's just get free stuff.
Let's get free stuff. Beauty stuff, like lotions under your eyes.
Yeah, need
laundry
that.
Detergent.
You don't need that.
Just list as many brands as we can think
just
of.
That we
run
can
out
use.
The clock.
Yeah, until we get free stuff in the mail.
Speaking of free stuff, I think I have a confession to make. I feel like I may have accidentally snagged some of your screeners in the mail. For those of you who don't know, when you're in the industry, you get DVDs.
Well, you didn't
of,
say that right.
Of
when you're in the industry.
Shut up. I did.
You have to say it like that.
You have to say it like that.
In the biz.
Not everybody fucking
B.
lives in LA, Dan. When you're in the industry, you get DVDs of movies that are being considered
when you're in
for
a union.
Awards.
You have to be in a union.
You do have to be in a union, I guess, do you?
Yeah, you don't just like I auditioned
I
today,
did a commercial
so where are
once.
My DVDs?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, they send the screeners and they send the script. This pandemic has got to end because the other day I'm like sitting there and I found myself just like reading the script for Borat.
There is one? Wait a minute.
There's a script for Borat?
Yeah, it is. And I was just like reading it and I was like, dude, I have ran out of stuff to read.
Yeah.
This pandemic, we got to go back to the real world. I'm sitting here reading the Borat script. It is bad.
Well,
but
and
did
then,
you steal
and
any?
Then we make you is watch
it,
Passions.
Is it a transcript of the movie? Or
it
is it?
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to say, but like, because you a lot
is
of the moments
good?
Seem.
Is it better than the movie?
I'm not a really good judge of dialogue, but I don't know.
Well, okay, now that we've got the screener discussion out of the way.
Yeah.
That's a day
I
in
do,
the
I
life
do
of Dan.
I do have a question for you about your technique.
My process?
No, different from screenwriting, because in screenwriting, it's important to, at least for me, to say the lines out loud to make sure that the cadence works, that the rhythm is there, and that it all sort of kind of goes together. When you're writing prose, do you do that at all? Does that help?
No. Well, I mean, I read it out loud as a test to just make sure I didn't mess anything up, like a quality check. But no, not really, because I like writing. I've written speeches before that I've given, and I like writing those because, yeah, you have to write it in a way that when you read it back, it's like, oh, this is how a human would talk.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right.
If you put
exactly,
like a $10
yeah.
word in there when you could have just used a $1 word,
sure.
It doesn't read as authentic.
Yeah.
But in prose, it's different because that's, you know, you want to be a good writer. You want, like, I don't care what it sounds like when somebody's saying this. I mean, granted, like, there will be an audiobook component to
right.
it.
But people are forgiving
but it's literature. It's the fine, you know, it's the written word. So, no, I don't. And I did write some dialogue last. I don't really write like scripts, but I took a crack at it last year and I loved it because it's just writing down talking.
Yes.
Right.
And it's fun. And you don't have to try to sound like smart.
Nope.
And in fact, like you try to sound like the intelligence level of the person speaking.
Yeah.
But in literature,
literature?
What do you call it? I don't know. Prose,
right?
Know,
but are you in the industry?
When you write like that, like you want to sound smart, but also you don't want to make it so dense that people don't want
to
read it.
It's
way different.
Yeah.
It's right. way different.
And you have to be accessible and then at the same time be a good writer.
Yeah. Like I want it to be like, I want anybody to be able to pick it up and read it. But at the same time, you don't want it to be like a kid's book. Like you don't want it to be like a first grade reading.
You don't.
Well, you're going to see a bump after this
yeah.
of your sales.
Yeah,
your,
you really
your
are.
Book sales.
You really, really are.
So far, I've sold zero. So, I mean, like it hasn't been announced.
Well,
yet,
then
so.
There you go.
Like I said,
you're going to see a big bump.
Yeah,
if
big
I can
bump.
Get the two,
even
two
100%,
copies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then shall we dive in? So we told Dan nothing. We told him,
right.
I mean, did I tell you anything?
No, and I wanted to go into it just clean.
Yeah. So here's what we do.
Clean.
We, I don't
You're
know if you know
not clean
this.
Anymore.
No, it's not clean anymore.
Yeah,
you've seen this.
Yeah.
You've been corrupted.
So Travis
Your writing
and I,
will suffer.
Travis and I were on a soap opera a while back.
A while back. That's where
Passions.
We met. There.
That's where we met.
And it's so funny that I didn't know this about you because in discovering it, it felt like when you learn that your uncle was like in a jam band in the 70s and you're just like, what? Uncle Bob did
what?
This?
You know, you didn't even get a chance to see me.
Yeah, so Travis,
I know.
Is
no,
not
Travis
in the
wasn't in it.
I know.
This was such an awful episode for you. And I think we sort of did it intentionally. We like,
I got to see someone have sex with you again.
That grossed me out a lot.
Not then, now.
Now. No, that's cute. That's sweet. We weren't together then, so it doesn't matter.
No, I was doing that for Eric. Yeah.
He's not listening. So one of the reason that I picked this episode, not knowing that Travis wasn't in the episode, because he had already left
and
at
Nina.
This point.
Oh, so this is post-Travis.
This is post-Travis.
Okay.
If you'll
how
notice,
did the
Travis
show
wasn't,
go on with that?
It didn't.
Very easily.
It was just like a high school theater with like some iPhones.
Right.
So this was the episode, the famous episode 823, where I had decided to leave the show. I got this script
that,
and
she
said,
made up her mind.
"Oh, this was
nope.
like a turning point for you."
Yeah, this was like,
wait,
I'm,
this one?
Well,
what was? I haven't seen the others, but like, what?
The other ones are paying rent.
Okay.
Yeah. This one was like, I'd rather Denbar
really
than do this. Yeah, and that's why
that's where you have to go. You have to be like, this may be the last job.
This
I
may
work,
be the last job I have,
but
yeah.
I'm okay to walk away.
And this was that moment.
It's like you. This may be my last book.
I mean, yeah, but you always say that, but then you're always like,
but
Mom,
then,
I don't have any other skills.
Yeah.
Wait,
what else am I gonna do?
Well, hold up. Before we even talk about your characters, like, what the fuck is this show? Like, to me, as far as I can tell, it was just like a show about people looking at each other and saying names.
Yes.
Like, they're just like, oh, Armando doesn't know about this. Let's not tell Armando. Well,
I love
if
that there's
we,
an Armando.
If we can't tell our, like, don't, Ethan doesn't think, like, they're just standing and saying names at each other.
This is so wonderful.
What
I'm
is
so glad you're
show?
Here. So, here's what's so fucked up about this episode is that you got one of the, like, least eventful in terms of, like, the craziness. There's usually so much
crazy shit
that's going on. Nothing.
That's what was weird to me. There's no actionable things that happen.
Not
it's
one.
All people talking about things that have happened,
right.
Which I haven't seen at all.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you didn't know that Ethan did that. I was like, did this already happen?
Did I do what?
Nothing. No. Nobody even, like, there would be no, if you just film the table read and then film the show, it would be the same because there's no action.
Table.
No.
Nobody moved in it.
No.
Like, there was just people from the head up. I don't even know, like, if they were sitting down or, like, what. It was so weird.
It was a really weird episode for us to choose for.
Do things normally happen?
Yes.
Do they, like, touch each other at any point? There's no. Nobody even touched. Well, they stood this close together and they just said words at each other.
Yes and no. I mean, you're not wrong.
For most of the time, it is exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and I imagine there's no like epic battle scenes in it.
The way it's structured is like the big stuff happens on a Friday or a Thursday. And then a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were watching was...
It had to have been a Tuesday, Wednesday or something. Like,
yeah, Tuesday, Monday,
man,
Tuesday,
really
Wednesday.
Gave me the slog, huh?
She gave you the...
We gave you the worst one.
The fat.
Because when we were trying to decide who was going to be assigned what episode, I have the page, the actual page that where I said I'm out. I have that on my wall. It's mm-hmm. it's in a frame on my wall in my office.
Is it this?
Yeah, go for it. It will be.
This is
that's it.
I
wrote
the whole
he wrote
quote
the monologue.
Down. Yes. You have to read it later. This is why I wrote it down so you could read
so
it.
So I can read it.
So you could read it.
Or one of us has to.
It can't be me.
This is so funny.
It can't be me, and I'll tell you why. Because I could barely get the words out
I'm
when I was
bad.
Saying it.
It's so funny. I'm sorry. I don't mean to mock it.
No,
it was just so funny.
You don't mean to mock it. That's what this whole podcast is about. Dan wrote down the fucking monologue.
I thought I was going insane when I watched it. Also, because I feel like when like when these shows
that's exactly what Ben said.
It's a
too.
Theme.
These
yeah.
shows air like in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So most people who are watching them are home sick from work. So we're running some sort of fever, right? And so I felt like I just had a fever the whole time. I was just like, man, if I had like a 101,
yeah.
this would seem really interesting to me. But I'm just completely sober. It's like 6 p.m. and on a Saturday night and I'm just watching people's faces.
There you have it. This is your COVID remedy.
Yeah, you'll get over
it. Oh,
COVID.
God, if you had COVID, this show would
passions.
Rock.
Well, you know, you don't know, of course. So this show was synonymous. No, I don't know why I just did that. Of course you don't know.
Well, tidbit about the show.
A little tidbit about the show is a lot of people smoked a lot of weed back in the day. Like
what? So it has like a weed cult following then?
It does have a weed following. It did have a weed following.
Drinking games.
Yeah. But it wasn't limited to that. There was also like the fifth graders who would proclaim marriage with the various male characters.
Right. That, you know, like pinned up above their bed pictures of.
Yeah. This was how a generation of girls learned how to love.
Yeah. This missed me completely.
Are you.
It was not my demo.
No, it wasn't your demo.
That's a great question. So the only time you watched soap operas was when you were homesick.
Or that's just like did you, what's but on, when I would even see them being on TV.
Right.
Yeah, that was the same way with me. Yeah. Like it was that, that time or in the summer when it was like too hot to go outside or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're both from dirtbag towns. So.
That's how they should advertise it.
Yeah.
Do you have the flu?
If it's too hot outside, come inside where it's hot.
Are you running a fever? Did you wake up in a cold sweat? Too sick to go to work? Passions.
Where were you when you
were
supposed to be advertising?
When was this airing?
99, 2000, 2001, 2002.
This was probably 20. This is
02. 2002. This was my high school years.
So
if I were homesick. Perfect attendance. Never miss a day at school.
Cool. Well, there's your answer.
What time did your school get out?
Like 3, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So you would have had the VHS set up.
Yeah. You would have had to tape it. Yeah. Which obviously wasn't happening.
It seemed like not just this show. It seems like these shows are meant to sort of like, I'm going to try to coin a phrase here, like hornivize 60 plus year old women.
Yes. Like, yes.
Right.
No, but what ended up happening
the other
is that they
this?
Hornivized like, the fifth graders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the 60 plus women were like, what?
So do you guys get a lot of like kids who would be 30 now being like, hey,
yes.
Guess what? I discovered my body to you guys on Passion.
Yes. Somebody actually, no.
Wait.
Someone did
discover their body?
Well, no, but somebody did send us an email about how they, it was so like body positive, sex positive and lovely. I don't remember what it was, but you remember somebody mentioned how they learned, I remember watching Julian and Rebecca, they learned that role playing could be really fun and cool and like lighthearted and like, and in turn it taught them that sex could be fun. This thing that was fun and not.
I didn't get any of that.
No,
I just had people talking about it.
You know, you got hot tub.
Yeah, you got hot tub Sheridan and Louise.
With melty
Melty chocolate.
Was supposed to do anything? It was...
Well, what about...
No,
okay,
no. I mean,
and
I
then
hope
that
not
guy was
it,
just
it
like...
Was
like it may be a little ill
like
to my stomach.
Okay, so that guy, was he... Did he have brain damage? Antonio? Yeah.
Yeah, because he got in a car crash.
No, but like brain damage, like, is he slow now?
Well, soap opera is slow.
I mean, what's the difference?
Also, I don't mean to like nitpick at the appearance of anybody on the show, but people had like weird eyebrows.
Yes.
And like weird. I mean,
was
everybody was wearing like some sort of pastel shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The like aesthetics of it were weird. What were the sets like? I was wondering, because they have like just like rooms, like they're in the study now.
Yeah.
Yes. And now they're in the bedroom. Yeah. And I'm like, what are the sets like?
It was like
that's
a sitcom.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. It was like when you go to a multi-camera taping.
Because it was multi-camera. This is the big cameras on rollers, and that's how they'd push or slide those things around.
Yeah. And there was too much mist. At times, I'm like, why is there mist?
Oh,
there was a
was
lot
of mist.
Was that just the crappy...
Was that with the Russells? Was there mist with the Russells talking about Simone? I'm never going to be Simone's boyfriend.
I want to say it was maybe in the transfer. Because
yeah,
it did seem kind of foggy.
Did it?
Smoke.
Sometimes there's just fog. Yeah.
Yeah.
For no
well,
because
it's sexy.
But no, yeah. there was fog because I think that's why they're explaining why Antonio can't find...
I'm really surprised to hear that like fifth graders... like had awakenings, because weren't they watching like MTV Spring Break or something like that?
Not the girls, sort of pure Bible Belt kind of girls who, because probably their parents were like, oh, this is dumb and gonna be fine. Let's let them watch this dumb cartoon that's live action.
But that is awful.
That's awful.
Hey, listeners, did you have your sexual awakening to passions? Call us at, what's the number?
Oh,
you just email us.
Email us.
Is emailpassions@gmail.com and then put attention Dan Oz.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll just forward those on over to you.
Yeah.
We'll print them out and then put them on your doorstep.
Can't wait.
Right.
Yeah, I had some concerns about Antonio.
Is a race car driver?
I don't.
Yeah, I wrote down race car driver, and I looked at it this morning, and I was like, I don't even remember that happening.
He probably doesn't either.
He hit his head.
He hit his head twice.
You got brain damage from a race car accident.
But it does say brain damage, right?
Yeah, brain damage.
So is
he?
Here's my sensitive question: is he acting like he's like slow?
I don't know.
Oh.
Does everybody know
okay,
what I mean?
Now
that I say it quietly enough.
Saying.
Yes.
If he was, I did not see him doing that.
I saw him going,
oh, I'm so confused. Look, I'm not a fan of that guy.
I'm not a fan of that guy either. And I don't,
matter of fact, I don't like him.
I don't have firsthand experience, but so, you know, everybody's guilty until proven. Whoops. Reverse it. We have heard not great things.
Well, it's funny that you guys are getting into weeds of this show, and I'm just like, why are they in a study?
No, but this is great. This is exactly
and
what
it also
we're
teaches
for.
The format of it. Like they cycle through like five plot lines, and every time, and they only stay on each one for like 35 seconds.
It
so
feels
by the time,
that way,
by the time one comes around again, I have to like reorient myself to like, and I'm like, what?
That's the point.
I can't get settled into this show at all. Yeah.
Right.
I don't, and it doesn't help by the fact that like I've never seen the show, so I don't know who any of the people are. So like, I feel like I'm being born every 45 seconds. A new scene comes on, and I'm like, where am I? Who are these people? I feel like I have amnesia watching this show.
Yeah. It's
a
real mindfuck.
You need to like fold your laundry while you watch the show.
No, I like, divided full attention.
I know.
Well,
that's
the
problem.
Damn.
Yeah, it's because
it is confusing because it's you can't have as soon as you start understanding what people are saying, you go on to another scene and you're like, oh man,
yeah, they never let you get comfortable.
I think that's
I think that's
intentional. Yeah,
because they want you to stay tuned. Well, I can't. They might say something the next time after the commercial break.
Yeah, because this was back, Ben and Travis and I talk a lot about this, how Passions was supposed to have been watched. And some of the listeners have written in and said that they disagree with us, but our opinion is that it was never supposed to be watched the way you watch it and the way that we are watching it now. Yeah. And again, listeners are like, au contraire, my eyeballs were glued to the TV every single day. They would, I mean, there was a lot of like VHS tapes being...
Well, of all of the like six storylines they were giving me, I don't say this just because I'm on this podcast, but I guess I was the most invested in yours.
Well, yes, I would hope so.
But only because the other five were complete just insanity that made no sense.
Now I want to assign him an actual episode, like an episode that's actually fucked up.
You gave me the B episode.
No, we gave you like the D episode.
Yeah.
Listeners, what is happening in this episode is, he's right.
We're not a recap show.
I know, but I think it's important because the people listening to this have seen the show. And if they understand that it's like there's a Julian scene where he has gray hair, by the way, and he looks fucking great. So
that's
Julian,
what I said. Everybody's
the guy
way
in the study.
This is in the study. It feels like a game of Clue.
Right. So the guy in the study with the scotch.
The guy in the study with the gray hair.
Right.
They designed that set after the movie Clue.
To make it look like Clue. Uh-huh. He usually had, ones that we've been watching, he has dyed hair. And now, later on, he went gray and he looks so much fucking better.
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Also, the woman, there's a woman in the, I think it's all flashbacks, the ones with Eve, where she's like the jazz singer and he's.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a flash.
So they, in real life, were a couple at the time. I don't know if they were out as a couple, but Tracy and Ben were a couple. Did they ever come out as a couple?
Yeah, I think so.
Were at fan events and stuff. They were doing that. Yeah.
And stuff like
that. Yeah. So when they were smooching, because normally when you see like older actors smooch, it's like, they barely even like there's a very like older actor. I'm sure we'll do it. Like I could die at any moment. I don't want to get too close to you, but they looked like real people kissing. And that's why I was like, oh yeah, shit. They were together in real life, which I thought was sort of lovely. I know you're still reeling from like, what?
I was thinking about how you did get the best lines of this scene. Specifically, the first time I saw you on the show, you woke up and you just said what you were thinking. Out loud, it was pretty much like, I'm waking up. Where is Ethan? Ah, he is not in the bed.
I bet he's
somewhere else. Ah, I'll bet that the thing that he's doing is having sex, which is not in the bed. Explaining why he's not here in this room with me, and like just, I mean, I get it because you're the only person in the scene. There has to be some dialogue to move it along. But you were just like, now I'm walking with my left foot and then my right.
Wait, does there need to be some dialogue to move it along? Well, like we've seen shows where people don't.
Yeah,
do
I guess
that.
You could have touched the blank side of the bed,
right?
But instead, you were. Like, Ethan, you are not here.
Right.
I shall leave this room where perhaps you are in a different room.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that, like, the colonial speak, like the weird 1800s speak that. And this episode, again, you haven't seen anything. Yeah. This episode wasn't nearly as bad as some of them have been, but like the way, even just the syntax.
Well, I feel like somebody before we close this episode should read this. This monologue that I wrote, but the funny part of it to me, which is what you're talking about, is at one point you just said, "So you see," and again, like talking about writing for dialogue versus writing prose, like maybe in a book, I guess
so you see.
But like, when would you ever write that for somebody to say?
No, never.
When in this century have you, or the last two centuries, have you heard someone say, "So you see"?
No, and I have a feeling that those writers were not the types of writers to read the words back because, you know, and we've talked about this a lot. They didn't have time to do it, but also, like, why?
They didn't have, there's like 12 lines of dialogue in the whole show. They didn't have time to read it back.
Yeah, they didn't.
They really didn't because they were writing like five episodes a day.
Yeah, just banging them out.
Banging
them out.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, when you put one word into your phone and then you can, like your iPhone will just auto finish this, like
the sentence,
it'll suggest words for you. It feels like somebody did that for you. Somebody typed in Ethan and then it was just like, Ethan is not here, but I think he may be in another room or other person. Like, it's like what?
Like Yoda speak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just iPhone talk.
Yeah. Right. It felt like that too. Yeah. Imagine having to learn that shit.
Did you? Or did you?
Kind of.
No, who's going to notice if you just start
it long enough? You learn it long enough to shoot it on camera.
And then they're like, fine, that works. But
so you see.
But there are some things, so you see.
The thing is.
That you can't get out of referring to a hickey. So, yeah, this is the famous
hickey episode. That was so funny, too, because you were just like, he gave me this. And the where it was on my my screen it was like so cut off.
Down.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? what happened?
So
what?
I remember that being, well, first of all, obviously when I got the script, I was like, I've quit, right? But then I still had to shoot the scene.
Can we go back to like, what? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So yes, we can. But I still had to shoot the scene because I still had like weeks left before I could leave. So no matter what, I had to be committed. And I remember, and as I'm watching myself say those lines about he gave me this and made love to me and all the awful things that I had to say, it is the one of the few times where I am watching myself as an actress and like fully seeing like I did not even fucking try. Like I could not even, I couldn't find a way. I wouldn't find a way.
Couldn't
I could have.
Couldn't dig deep.
I was not willing to. I was not willing to try and sell that line because
But also too, you're on a show where like, seemingly everybody's at that point.
Precisely.
It feels like being in high school on the last day, like the last week.
It's like you're a senior and you've already graduated, but they're going to make you go back to class. Totally. This is what they did. We would have graduation and then we'd have 2 days of school. And I was like, why am I here? And that's what it was. And I as I'm watching it the other night, it all came flooding, how fucking grossed out I was by this.
Okay. So that's what I wanted to ask. What specific, this is the only episode I've seen.
Yes.
But what specifically about this episode crossed the line where you're like, this is too far for me?
It happened way before that.
It happened. This was the straw. Just the idea of a grown woman standing in front of her rival, and not her business rival, not her childhood rival,
rival in love.
Yeah, that her fucking husband will always love her more than he'll love me. The pathetic fucking nature of her standing in front of this woman who's going to win, and she knows she's going to win, and saying, look, I got a hickey. Like, that's all you fucking have, and it's gross. Like, not only is it pathetic, but it's disgusting.
And this is also not the first time you'd done this. Like, this scene.
I mean? Like, where what crossed the line was the pathetic I had played for 2 years,
right.
The disgusting got added on top of it, and I was like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. I can't.
They're
I
like,
can do one or the other.
Now it's your chance, Gwen, to get back at her. Now you can.
Can I read? Can I read this?
You can. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you please read that?
By the way, I'm glad that I'm doing this because I realize I don't like most of my friends are musicians, and I don't ever like see them. Like, I know how to handle somebody playing music in front of me.
Yeah.
But when somebody that I know is acting, I find it very uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. I watched like through my fingers a lot because I was just like, it feels like walking in on somebody in the shower. So you're just I just shouldn't be seeing this. And I'm going to. Yeah. So I don't like it.
I don't either.
It was hard to watch in a weird way.
Yeah.
But so you said this, and I'm going to try this. I'm no.
You're not Natalie Z, I know, but
He said, this is reality. Ethan made love to me tonight, and you had no idea how fantastic it was. Ethan has never had sex with you the way he's had sex with me, and he doesn't take it lightly. It's very important to him. It's an important part of a loving, committed relationship based on trust. And he's told you over and over again that he can't trust you. So you see, Ethan is committed to me, and you know I'm right, don't you? You know you've just lost him. Like, I love that you said one sentence in 10 different ways in that one.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's why it's hard to learn.
Some like Tommy Wiseau level The Room dialogue.
Right. Exactly.
How about it's like a 45 or the 45th president making a speech?
Yeah,
it's like that. It just says the same thing over and over again.
Like when they were writing this, we're like, okay, so we got this. The sex is very important to him. Cool. Okay. The next sentence, you wanted to say that it's important to him, but like in a different way.
In a different way.
Like
more important than you can imagine.
Yeah,
important
more important
to
you can
him,
imagine.
Sex is very, like, does that work?
Write it down.
So, yeah, you just said one thing, over and over. It was I had to write it down because it was just, like, what? It's just, like, there's so much fat on it. Like, look at, my editor would take this and be like, Dan, six words. Get this done in six words.
Yeah, we tried.
And your editor
would
not get a job working on the show.
No, this is true.
They'd be like, who are you trying to impress?
Yeah, right?
Get out of here.
Yeah, who's paying you? We also were like, guys, could we maybe not do this? And they were like, no, say the line.
Really?
What if I just like tweak the words a little?
Nope. Just say the
instead of saying, in a row when I say it's very important to him, it's an important part of a loving relationship. Like maybe we can combine those two sentences.
Or maybe just use important only once.
Because what if they don't hear the first
important? This is the most important thing.
That's it was so fun. I was like watching it, and it's not that long. It's like maybe 20 seconds. But I was like, this keeps going on.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
Because it's so poorly written, you realize this is really going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No... A well written monologue is something that you want to watch forever and ever.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm thinking of
King's Speech.
I'm thinking of Ending Things, like that movie. Mm. Mm-hmm. There's monologues for 5 minutes in that movie. And
I would pay so much to hear, to like to see that set design and like the snowy car and they've got, you know,
yeah,
and then just hear him Passion just being like, it's very important to me. It's very important part of a committed relationship, and it's very important to
do
Ethan.
They not do that in that movie? Because I feel like that's exactly what the dialogue is.
We don't need to get into I thought that was a little tedious too, but
I watched that movie after it took me 5 viewings.
Yeah. Did you finally finish it?
I finally finished it. You're never going to watch it.
So what happened with that movie
So you see, we
watched about 20 minutes of it, and I found myself at the 20-minute mark.
Phone.
No, I got up, and I went to the bookshelf, and Travis is like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm just looking for a book. He's like, I think we should turn this off. And I was like, oh, you might be right. Yeah, if I'm looking for a book,
yeah,
that's how uninterested I am in like, what's going on the screen.
Damn, I'm going to go make a dentist appointment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll try it again though. I have it to have it.
Like, but look at this. Is this what you have framed?
That is the monologue. That's
it is
like
it actually is bigger than that.
And you're you're actually gonna frame that.
Well, I've been looking at edits for the last year.
Yeah,
and like truly, like an editor would put like the notes on this would be.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to get a red pen.
Yeah, get a red pen.
I'll see what she says. She's really good.
Yeah. And be like, hey, just can you pare this down for me? I'm finding really hard.
I feel like the entire show, what was it, 45 minutes? It could have been like
38 minutes.
12.
Yeah. It could have. And the problem is that they wouldn't have had a show.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, I mean, they would have made more money because that would have been... The rest of the time would have been commercials.
So I don't know if you know this, but...
So you see,
I'm going to start saying it all the time.
That's going to be my handle.
Travis formerly played the role of Ethan.
What? Wait, hold on.
The hickey guy, yeah.
All right, forget all the bad mouthing I did about this show because that changes everything that I knew of.
Yeah.
What?
We're so upset that you didn't get to see Travis because this would have been an entirely different experience.
It was deceptive because the screenshot, like the screenshot for the episode that you sent me, had Travis just looking like,
yep.
Like that?
What?
Exactly. And I was like, oh, I can't wait. And then he never came up.
We went into this thinking that Travis was in the episode, but we didn't do our research because, you know, we don't do our research. And so I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Eric. Oh, shit. Okay, well, I guess we're going to keep going. We're going to do this because we committed to it. So Eric came on very, very shortly before this episode was filmed to replace Travis in the role.
And
I know.
Not a different character. They just swapped out.
Yeah, they swap out
a lot. Menudo.
Yes. Or like Valerie Harper.
No one will notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, not only was I, had I had it, but my best friend had left. And Eric was great. He's a lovely person to this day. But he's wonderful. But
He's Ethan.
But I was like alone in this like fucking hellhole of a situation, like
somebody
a monologue.
To laugh it off with.
I didn't have anybody to be like, can you fucking believe this? So I felt not only disgusted, but I was also really alone in the situation, and I was out.
And you just took it out on that poor woman wanted to love Ethan.
Just wanted to love Ethan, but and also what I realized in watching this is she's not wrong. Nothing she's saying is wrong.
She had a great monologue too, where she was just like, no, Mom, Ethan loves me. He went to get a book for me. As you know, the famous romantic gesture that we all know of getting a book.
Get a book.
He's thinking about me.
And then he did too. He went into the study and he's like, she needs this book for her case. I'm like, oh, okay.
What case? What case was it?
It was a report.
It was a report. That's right. She was doing it. She was calling it a report.
By the way, I love shows wherein. Shows or movies wherein you can tell that the writers have never had like a real job
before.
Because it's always just like, I have to get the report together for the big meeting. And it's just you've never, ever worked in an office before.
You don't know what a report is.
I wrote that same thing down. I was like, that is, they didn't even try. They didn't even call anyone.
No, she's looking through files.
Well, I gotta get this report done.
We need the files.
That's not even a legal term.
Typing loudly. We need to land the big client. It's like one of
this
those.
This is the important case.
It's so funny how much that comes up where I see these people have never actually worked outside of writing rooms.
No, and what often happens is actors will, because actors have to work before they are actors. Mm-hmm. And so we've all kind of had jobs and we're like, is there something specific? They're like, no, don't worry about it.
I was always wondering. I kept asking what kind of lawyer Ethan was. I was like, is he contract laws? Does he go to trials? And apparently, I did every once in a while.
No.
I was like, but what? Oh no, I went to court.
Okay,
that was her thing. It's like I didn't go to trial. I just went to court.
Yeah,
and I was probably just filing something. So you're on.
But no concept of work. And she was just at a desk moving papers from one side of the desk to the other. Just aha.
Yeah.
I found it. The file I needed to solve the big case.
Ethan's going to go get that book, and that's going to be the missing puzzle.
What's in that book? There's nothing in that book. There's not a fucking computer in sight. There's no. And it was so weird because her mom was just next to her.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. While she's working, to just be like, hey, Ethan, you better let that go. That's not happening. And she's like, Mom, you know how when I'm at business, it's very very difficult for me to talk to you.
Meanwhile, she just started this job literally yesterday.
What the fuck? Where did you come from? Because you...
Oh, it's...
Are you in a big house?
Yes, it's a mansion. Yeah.
Okay, because you are sleeping... And then, I had no sense of what time of day it was.
No, you never do.
It felt like being in a casino when you walk out and you're like, what? It's daytime? Are you kidding me?
Well, that's the other lighting. Thing about sleeping.
The lighting is weird.
The lighting's
dark
weird.
All the time.
The timeline is always fucked up because we also discussed this with you where I was like, do you want a nightcap? And it's like, what? Who's sleeping?
I like the idea that there's no such thing as time. It's just, you're just in this alternate reality where... Things happen at indeterminate amount of times.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, it's so video game. In video games, when a character comes in and just stands there until you interact with them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they come online and they're like, oh, yes. Well, you're looking for the general store.
Totally. Yeah, it is. It's very, very video game.
Very avatar-ish.
In terms of there's no time and space really. There's no the spatial relations are really fucked up and
people talk to each other, not looking at each other.
And people,
over their shoulder.
Say what they're going to do before they do it and then say what they're doing while they're doing it and then say what they just did after they did it. That's a big soap thing. And then, and the fact that, we were asleep. I mean, I guess we were, you weren't in it. Sorry. That wasn't you. That was Eric.
You're pointing at me.
We were asleep.
You were asleep.
Well, we had had sex.
I know.
I'm sorry. We were making love.
You got the hickey.
Yeah. We were making love. And then.
Making love.
Making love. And then.
So then
we go to sleep,
Mm-hmm.
And. Teresa is very busy working on the case.
Yeah, she was burning the midnight oil with her mom for some undetermined reason.
Well, she works at the Crane Mansion.
The
maid. Yeah, she's the maid, of course.
The mansion.
Because she's Hispanic, and that's how this world works.
Yeah.
And, you can't take your work home.
They really leaned into the fact that they were Spanish. They wanted viewers to know that they were Spanish.
Very much
Teresa.
So. Yeah, yes, very much so. Like,
yeah.
It was a thing.
Lindsay's Greek.
Lindsay is great.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then Julian being up. I guess he was having a nightcap, and then the Russells. What
Wait.
Were the sisters?
Did this? So you're telling me everything I watched happened in the same house?
No.
How are these people related to each other? The people at the hot tub. Who the fuck were they?
Okay, so the people at the hot tub is the guy is brothers with Teresa and is the
Antonio.
Mom and also Antonio, the one who's a little. Slow touched and Sharon, the blonde in the hot tub, is sisters with Julian, who has the gray hair now in the study, and then Ethan, who's not played by Travis Schultz, is somebody
that's his aunt. Sharon is his aunt.
I can't believe they just swapped you out. Well, like, don't they kill characters off when the actors go?
Not this character.
Not this show. Not that character.
Not back then either. Not back then. Like, nowadays, they would have done it. Like, they totally would have
done
it.
Really great ratings.
Because it's cool. Yeah, but now it's like...
Yeah, it happened a lot. Mm-hmm. They also had a... there's a soap term called SOAS. What is it? Listeners, help me out here. It's when... Sudden... People are shaking their ham sandwiches. Sudden... Fuck! It's when a child on a soap
grows up,
the next day is an adult, at a teenager or an adult, right, called sudden something
advanced.
Yeah, sudden advanced. You'll write in aging for us. Yeah, aging something sudden. Fuck. So I think we're done. I think I just completely ruined the podcast.
You really took the wind out of the
sails. I really have to go now. So that's it.
Bye.
That's not it.
So you see.
Yeah. The Russells, the Simone had wrecked a car.
Can't believe you made me watch this weird
transitional
episode.
Oh, that's right. The Russells wrecked a car.
Yeah. I put full blame on Natalie on this one. Because even I was like, okay, your famous Hickey episode. And then I put it on and I'm like, I'm not even in it.
Yeah.
It's like Dan is really getting his shit into the stick. So we just have to do it again.
Yeah, I can't find it. I'm so off on this. It's something.
It's intense, babe.
I know. It's intense. I had it written down somewhere, and I went.
Do you want me to read the monologue again?
Yeah, because you read the monologue.
The monologue was amazing.
Here's what we gained by watching this, everyone. We gained nothing by watching it, but here's what we gained by it existing, and that is that I left the show. And didn't work for quite some time, but then had a career.
Mm.
And that's why this episode is so important.
Right.
And means so much to me is that otherwise, who knows?
That's why we picked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pivotal moment for this in your
pivotal
career.
Moment,
we thought it was going to be much more pivotal.
Well,
I would love to tell the writer of this monologue that what he was, I assume it's a he, what he
it's
was.
It's got to be a he.
It was, yeah.
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 No, female characters usually are that wooden in person.
Yeah.
they articulate their emotions very well.
I just wonder if he, when he was sitting down writing this, if he knew that it was so offensively bad that it would actually push the person into a better career.
Whoa.
It would be cool to go back.
That would be great. What if we could get a hold of that person?
They're probably dead.
I always think everybody's dead.
Right. Yeah.
Like if 10 years has gone by, everybody's dead.
There's a pandemic. So.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
He's dead.
Possible.
It's possible. But if not, you know, maybe we can find that out because it's actually, it's a lovely thing that happened.
Yeah.
With the famous Hickey episode 823 that's on my wall.
It is. It's on your wall.
Yeah. Dan, thank you.
Thanks for
having us on your podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on your name saying names show.
Yeah,
podcast.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Saying names at people's faces.
You know, you're welcome to watch Passions episodes anytime we have a whole hard drive.
I feel like we should make it up to him. It went right
into the next episode, and like it when it was auto playing, and so like I did start. It just started playing, but it just replayed your famous monologue.
Well, because that's the next episode.
Right. And you were like, that's enough. It's enough.
I mean, I watched it one more time.
Well, of course.
So you were like, maybe something different will happen.
Well, so you see.
Dan Ozzie, we might have you come back when you're promoting
your
book.
Yeah. You know where to reach me.
Yeah.
Your producer daughter comes in.
Yeah, she'll come get
me.
You. Yeah. Yeah. But seriously, thank you for doing this because it's really, really fun to get a fresh perspective.
Sure.
Craziness.
Fresh.
Yeah. Because it's not fresh for us at all.
Yeah.
We've been living with this for. Yeah.
You said it like it was a guilt. We've been living with this.
We really have.
It's been really interesting, like going back and looking at it and from a different perspective, you know, 20 years later being like, wow, okay, what was I thinking then? And why did I take this so seriously? And what was my hair doing? Why didn't I have more fun? Or
a lot of it is why didn't I have more fun?
Or and just like most of the time just going, man, I was bad. You know, that kind of stuff.
Travis, would you like to do some housekeeping?
Yeah, let's do some housekeeping. Please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. We do listener emails in the middle of the week. So email us at
anything.
Email,
ask us anything.
Anything. Maybe
we'll make
we
it up
can
if we don't have
solve
an answer.
Natalie's issue with SARS. email passions at gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter at @passions4 and on Instagram at @passionsforlifepod. We got a little link to this wonderful episode. Maybe
supplemental video
we'll is what we
supplemental video
what we refer to it as
in the show notes.
So on Instagram, we're at @ipassionsforlifepod. If you go to our Instagram, there's some supplemental video to go along with this episode, because you can have the same experience that Dan here did, and
Lucky
you can
ducks.
Let the good times roll.
Yeah.
You can try to edit down that speech and then email it to
us. It'll be a fun exercise.
You should challenge here. I'm going to take over your podcast.
Do it.
This is my podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I'm sorry,
okay.
You guys are out. Here's what you guys should do, listeners. Take the Natalie monologue challenge. Give your best reenactment of this that starts with, "This is reality. Ethan made love to me tonight." Just really sell the hell out of this thing. Post it on Instagram, get it on your stories or whatever, and send them over, because that's what you want to see. The most, the lowest moment of your career, you want to see other people sending you their versions of it.
That's perfect.
I wish this was the lowest moment of my career. Please do
what
it.
What is
do
this
it.
Right here?
No, yeah, this is it. Please do what Dan Osby says.
Yeah. You heard it right there, guys.
Yeah, he knows what's best.
Let's
and
do it.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll holler at you next week. Bye.
Good night.
Your fantasies can only take you so far, Teresa. Because this is reality. Ethan made love to me tonight, and you have no idea how fantastic it was. Ethan has never had sex with you the way he's had sex with me. And he doesn't take it lightly. It's very important to him. It's an important part of a loving, committed relationship based on trust. And he's told you over and over again that he can't trust you. So you see, Ethan is committed to me. And you know I'm right, don't you? You know you've lost him. I have lost Ethan.